Hi, everybody. Now, Cindy told me this, and I remember from the last time I was here, every time I've been here, that I sit down at the beginning of the service, and then when I get up to this part, it's filled in so much. And I thought, yep, I'm in a Unity church. And I can say that because I came zipping in here about 10 minutes till 11, and the girls handled it really well. Oh, hi, you're here. Let's get you mic'd. It's so good to be with you again. It's so good to be with you again. And I'm telling you, this last song, I've loved it ever since the first time I heard it. But today, I heard like generations of really cool women singing it. You know, like Ella could have sung that. And Dionne could have sung that. And Anita Baker could sing that. You know, it's just smooth. Thank you. It's good to see all of y'all again. Thank you. All of y'all. I grew up in Texas. Born and raised. And spent enough time in other parts of the United States as I was growing up to have, I think, an objective view of being a Texan. And that's why I've been here again for the last 30 or so years of my life. It's good, and it's especially good to be here in the Hill Country. You know, this church, I've told you this before, this church facility is the envy of every minister in the Central Texas area. You know, the first time we came here for a little minister's meeting back when Mindy was still here, it was like, oh my gosh. And now it's filled with the most amazing people. So I'm really pleased to be here with you. This is the first time, I bet David's with the kids, isn't he? David Medlock. This is the first time I've worn flip-flops to church. But you know, it's too darn hot not to. So I'm guessing there's more flip-flops in here than not. So I look, I'm part of the crowd. What I'm going to talk to you about today, I know Carl introduced it so well because I wanted to give you a little bit of intrigue about what this was about. But it's about a subject that we usually don't like to talk about very much, which is forgiveness. So just go ahead and swallow and take a deep breath because we're going to talk about forgiveness today. We can't stop talking about forgiveness. We just can't. We can't afford to. And I'll tell you where the scripture comes from in just a moment, but I want to just share with you a little bit. Oh, look. I found a penny. Prosperity. Yeah, prosperity and good luck for today. That's right. I grew up a Baptist girl. And I was first introduced to the Baptist church when I was about 9 years old. And I thought it was amazing because I'd heard about Jesus and sung about Jesus going to church and Sunday school with my granny. And so I always thought Jesus was pretty neat. I knew my Bible, my very first Bible that I had as a child was an illustrated Bible, and it had on the cover Jesus with the little children around him. So I always thought Jesus was cool. And then as I got a little older, I discovered that Jesus had died for our sins and we were always forgiven. But being a logical child, which drove my parents crazy, that didn't make sense to me. I thought, how could Jesus die and then we're all, and that forgives all our sins? Because the message I was also getting was that I was a sinner and I needed to keep repenting. But my sins were forgiven, but I needed to repent. And that I would always be a sinner, but God loves me, but maybe I'm not good enough. That's a confusing message, isn't it? I bet a lot of you asked that question when you were younger too, if you got that particular message. And I knew the Jews were okay. Even though they didn't believe in Jesus, I asked my mom about that one time, and she said, honey, God picked out the Jews and chose them a long time ago. You just don't need to worry about the Jews. Bless my mom. So, well, got the Jews covered. I was really envious of my Catholic friends because they could just go and tell a priest behind a, you know, behind a wall what they had done bad, and the priest said, you know, go do this and this, and then it's all okay. So they had a formula. And for a logical child, a formula just made sense instead of this nebulous Jesus died for your sins thing. But the Catholics didn't seem to be enjoying Christianity any more than I was, even with their formula. And I didn't really know a whole lot about all the rest of them, except I knew that Buddhism and Chinese, as a child of the Cold War, that was just bad news. You know, the Chinese didn't believe in Jesus, so they were already in trouble. So I was very confused as a child. And that made, you know, when you kind of carry that through your pre-adolescence and then your adolescent years, by the time you get to your adult years, you're kind of hopeless. There's too much information, too much to figure out. What was it about this forgiveness thing? And so there were stories about Jesus that I learned all along. And one of the ones that intrigued me was about the woman that was caught in adultery. And you notice in the Bible story, I'm just saying, there wasn't anything about the guy. Because even as a child, I understood that adultery involved two people. And only the woman was getting in trouble. And under the law, and under the customs, she was supposed to be stoned. So Jesus stands up in front of this crowd of angry, righteous people with rocks in their hands and says, hold on just a minute. If you've never done anything against the law ever in your life, go ahead. And of course, they had enough humanity about them to say, oh, well, in that case. And they dropped the stones and they went away. And the woman is still huddled on the ground, traumatized and in fear for her life when Jesus goes to her in that increasing silence and says, woman, where are your accusers? And she looks up and says, well, they're not here. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's amazing. Now, that seems like a story that happened a long, long time ago, and it was Jesus and all. But you know that law is still practiced in the world, don't you? Sharia law and other customs and religions call for women to be publicly punished and or put to death. So, and I'm not saying this because I'm on a women's rights thing, although I am. But, but I'm saying this because we have a direct correlation between that story then and what's going on now. So it's relevant. It's a relevant story. So I want you to imagine, because I haven't heard about it in the news, a man of that custom brought up in that law, standing in front of a crowd that's about to legally punish a woman in public. I haven't heard about a man standing up and saying, hang on just a second, guys, before you do this. And I'm not leaving the women out because they engage in it too. I haven't heard about anybody standing up in today's times and saying, wait a minute, if we've never broken the law, maybe we can go ahead with this, but I think I have and I won't. So I am imagining that for Jesus to do that, he had such a presence and a power about him that he could stop the crowd. That is a pretty strong sense of not only courage, but being really comfortable with who you are. For Jesus to have done that. Because imagine it today. So the logical child in me said, well, that's great. But what happens if I sin today? Jesus isn't going to come up and stop people who talk ugly about you. Jesus isn't going to step in and say, I don't condemn you. And I didn't really get that question answered until I came into Unity. And it's a good news, bad news kind of answer. Because you see, my friends, everything that Jesus had about him that was true and courageous and powerful and forgiving and wise is already right here. This is where it dwells. It's not in the Baptist preacher who tells me what salvation is and isn't. It's not in the formulas of the Catholic Church. It's not in some force outside of me, no matter how wonderful that might have been, like Jesus was. It's right here. Which means the act of forgiveness is a job we have to do. For others and for ourselves. I remember one time, my wise mom, she's still on the earth, thank God. But I remember one time fretting over a transgression I surely must have committed because I didn't feel good about myself. My mom finally saying, out of, I'm sure, exasperation and desperation, honey, if God's already forgiven you, who are you to hold it against yourself? How dare you hold something against yourself when God is already forgiving you right now? And I would offer that to you today. Do we have any babies in here? There's a baby back here. We're not going to wake up the baby. Okay. Yeah. Says the grateful parent, thank God, don't wake up the baby. Okay. There's a child among us. There's kids in our congregation here. You know, I think one of the reasons we keep having babies, not just to populate the planet, or not just because, oops, but because we need to be able to look in the eyes of innocence and remember that they're a reflection of us. That no matter how we've lived, no matter how long, no matter how hard we've lived, there is still in us that innocence. There is still in us wise and true and untouched. Now, my friends, here's why this is so important. First of all, it weans us away from relying on anything outside of ourselves to absolve us. We may or may not get human affirmation when we have transgressed against another. Our apology may or may not be received. You know how that goes? One or two of you responded on that, but I'm just curious if maybe there's a few more of you that might have had that situation where you apologized and the person was like, whatever. And there may be a part of you in which somebody has or has not apologized to you and you're still holding them hostage for what they did to you. Somehow that part of us just doesn't seem to equate with the wise, innocent, untouched part of us, does it? So that means everybody all the time. Oh boy. You understand, I'm sure, because you're smart people and you're wise people, that that doesn't mean that we condone evil actions. Doesn't mean that we condone the evil acts of human beings, because human beings can do that. But you know when you're holding energy about it. Do you know, was it yesterday? Yesterday or the day before? I finally just had to get off the highways of Austin. I don't know what was going on Friday, but everybody was stupid in their cars. Stupid. And it was hot. And the longer I drove, the madder I got. I thought, I got to get out of this car. I'm gonna commit vehicular homicide if I'm not careful. Oh, man. And I'm pretty sure it didn't have anything to do with them. I'm just guessing. It might have had everything to do with me and the attitude I was carrying around. I thought, you know, if it's that hot, I'm that irritated, better go home. Better go home. And I did. I went home and I found the darkest place in my house and the coolest place, and I sat down there and just breathed for a while. You know, it's not a good idea to close your eyes and breathe when you're driving your car. So always park. But friends, here's an indicator for you. I truly believe, I don't have any proof for this except something inside that resonates completely. I don't have any proof, but I see that things are getting more and more and more chaotic out there in the world. We have more and more opportunities to pass judgment on others, do we not? And we have every medium in the world with which to do it. Oh, there is so much of this going on right now. And if I'm not careful, I'll jump right in there and do it too. You know, do you ever turn into your Aunt Esther? If you ever had an Aunt Esther, I apologize already, but she just gets all, you know, pruney about things. And just, that's not, I don't like feeling that way, you know? It makes me stop breathing. I'm sure my wrinkles get worse. I mean, it's awful. But we've all got that part of us too, don't we? And it's a good idea for us just to say, oh, Aunt Esther, you need to just calm down. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say, honey. Nobody. You're not being kind and you're not being helpful. So there's a lot going on in the world. It seems to me that there is a growing disregard for compassion and kindness. There is more and more of people looking for opportunities to criticize another. Not just seeing them and saying something, but looking for them. And I am guessing that because nature, the universe, tries to balance itself, that there is also a rising capacity for us to rise above it. And so the stronger we become spiritually, the more the world is going to say, oh, no, no, no. We have to keep being mean. No, we're going to rise above it. No. Do you see? I am hoping that what we see out there as evidence in the world is an indicator that we are becoming stronger people spiritually. And if we're not, we had better be. The only people, the only force that is going to rescue humanity is us. Individually and collectively, as people who have their eyes focused on the Christ that lives in here. We're the ones. So catch yourself while you're watching the news, while you're reading the newspaper, while you're on social media, if you do that, while you're talking to the naysayers, while you're giving yourself a really not helpful message about yourself. Catch it and bless it. Because there's a voice inside of us that says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That is our redemption right there. That's the redemption. We have a do-over. We have a chance to see ourselves clearly with compassion and forgiveness and move forward in our very best effort not to do it again. We probably will, and we'll probably forgive ourselves yet again, and so we grow. And so we continue down the path of spiritual maturity. But I want you just to imagine for a moment. Imagine the thing. If you don't have a thing, make a thing up. Imagine a thing that you might be holding against yourself. Ooh, I wish I didn't. Or I wish I hadn't. And just listen to the voice in you that says, neither do I condemn you. And then breathe. And then go and sin no more. Do you see how everything just gets kind of melted on the inside? That little hard place around your heart softens up just a little bit. And I'm telling you, friends, it's like the stone. You drop enough water on it, eventually it cracks open. So if you're not in the habit of forgiveness, practice it. Drop it on that heart. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. You just keep practicing. And that heart will fall wide open. And your light will shine ever so brightly wherever you go. So my talk title today was Bucking the System. We've all got a system, haven't we? We've all got an eye for an eye. We've all got a, if I do this, then it'll make up for that. Maybe you still do Our Fathers and Hail Marys. Maybe you get down on your knees and say, oh, I've been so bad. God doesn't care if we get down on our knees and say, oh, I've been so bad. The only reason we do that is so we can get humble. So go ahead and use that system if you need to. Get humble. And then buck the system and say, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. It's done. I no longer hold this against me or against you. This is easy to say. Why do you think I'm preaching this today? I have not yet, earned the privilege to live in a vacuum. Therefore, I live with a husband and two teenage boys and an elderly dog. And a couple of not so elderly dogs and two cats and a snake. And I have a horse. So there you go. And a whole family that's still alive. All my siblings, my parents. And I have here in this congregation even people that have known me for a very long time. Corrine, Dottie, we go back to 1992, the year I was ordained, came to Austin. We've watched each other grow, haven't we? I think we're better than we were 21 years ago. God, I hope we are. Because that's our calling in life, my friends. That's our calling. To remember that innocent part of us instead of that veneer of sophistication and cynicism and skepticism that it's so easy to put on. We are creatures of the world, are we not? And every now and then we just have to, shake it off. Go to the mall where they have hermit crabs. You didn't expect to hear that, did you? No. If you're lucky, you get to see a hermit crab that's outgrown his shell. And he has to leave the comfort of that tight, dark shell, crawl out there into the light, find a bigger shell to live in. I don't think they like doing that. That's why they're called hermit crabs. And they have to get out, and they have to crawl along, and they have to go get in a bigger shell until they've grown too much for that one. That's us, friends. We just have to keep growing. We have to keep forgiving. We have to keep looking out there in the world. I'll tell you what, look for opportunities where it's the hardest and start practicing. And that means, yes, even that. And even them. Yeah, we have to. We have to. The world depends on it. You know, I don't know if Jesus is going to come back, as it said in Paul's writings and in the writers of Revelation. I don't know if Jesus is going to come back and trumpets in the sky and, you know, I don't know. It's a guess. Maybe he's already here waiting for us to grow up and figure it out. I don't know. But I do know that the work of salvation, i.e. the work of forgiveness, is up to us. We're it. So, I think we have some things to think about. Let's start it out in the right place, taking it from here to here. And let's just be with each other. Let's be with each other and draw on each other for strength in our meditation. Let's take the task that is ahead of us. And if you've gotten to this point of the service and you're saying, you know, I've already forgiven everybody. I'm cool with myself. I'm just going to give you a chance to kind of check all the corners, okay? The energy of this room is so amazing, and what we've done is allowed each other to have a space in which our hearts can be wide open and fully known without fear. We have nothing to hide. Because the Almighty Creator already knows us since before birth. We've been endowed already with that perfect essence of light implanted in us. We've been given the tools to nurture that light and to clear out a path so that it might shine before all. So that we are those perfect reflections of divine energy. It's why we were created. And so if there's anything that stands in your way of knowing the truth of that, bring it out of the darkness and bring it into the light. Imagine that there is a sacred altar in the center of your heart where all things are made whole and everything is healed. And bring that which is yet unhealed, that which is yet unforgiven, about yourself or another, and lay it upon that altar. And say, here, divine light in me, I give it up. And in the days ahead, if I should try to take this back and put it in the dark again, remind me of this sacred place. And in this mind of mine that is so brilliant and receptive, let it believe Let it hope. Let my mind and my heart be wise and innocent. May I be the lamb in my heart and the lion in my words and my actions, full of strength and truth. Let your heart give thanks today for the life of Jesus Christ. He walked among people on earth. He said, "Oh, there's a different way. Watch, learn, believe, practice, and do. For this is who you are, beloved. There is no condemnation here. And loving Spirit, as we go forth into the world from this day and from this place, open our eyes so that we might look for this very same thing in every person we encounter. For the gift of life, for the gift of ultimate and eternal forgiveness, for the ability to walk through life with the strength and the power of the Christ. We do give thanks. We give thanks. And so it is, loving God. And so it is. Amen.